We're doing Mishlei, we're up to what's called the 12th chapter, the 26th Pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech says, Yater mere'ehu tzadik v'derech resha'im tate. The word yater is the key to the first part of the Pasuk. Yater mere'ehu, and the question is, what's the root of the word yater? So Rashi learns that the word yater stems from the word levater. To be forthcoming, to give beyond the call of duty, to give of oneself at one's own expense. Yater mere'ehu tzadik. The tzadik, part of being a righteous person, is that he forgoes what he's entitled. He forgoes what he's entitled. Now, this is phenomenal that this is incorporated in the word tzadik, because ordinarily the word tzadik stems from the word tzedek, what's right. Give me what's mine and I'll give you what's yours. I won't get in your way, you don't get in my way. And if it's wrong, so why should I give in? No. And if this is the pshat, the way Rashi just said, if that's pshat, so then we have an understanding in another Gemara. We know that the hallmark of Jerusalem is tzedek. Ir ha-tzedek. The king is called Malki Tzedek. Tzedek Yalinba. Hashem says, my goal was that there will always be tzedek, which we would translate as righteousness in the city of Jerusalem. Comes Rashi and teaches us, no. Part of righteousness is to go beyond the call of duty. And we once saw a whole work, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a large piece on this idea that chesed ve'emet are intertwined. That in truth, doing kindness is a part of the truth. It's not only beyond the call of duty. If you really understand what's going on in the world, then you see that part of what's right, part of what's true, is to go beyond the call of duty. Now we understand, the Talmud says Jerusalem was destroyed al shekimu ba'et hadin, because people were insistent, you give me what's mine and I'll give you what's yours and don't ask me for more. Now you can't run a city like that. Jerusalem was destroyed al shekimu ba'et hadin, because people insisted, this is the law, this is what we live by. No, you got to go beyond that. Now we understand, that's the term tzedek.
What do you mean by, I'll give you my, like you're in a court case and the guy wants $500 and he's like, okay, give me $500?
No, in general, their way of life was, stick to the letter of the law, don't ask me for more than that. Other commentaries learn, yater mere'ehu, that the word yater comes from the word yitron. The tzaddik is above his friend. They're not on the same level. Yater, he is elevated from his friend. V'derech resha'im tat'im. The path of the wicked, derech resha'im tat'im. The wicked think that they have success. The path of the wicked causes them to err, because initially it seems like it's successful. Derech Reshaim, the path of the wicked, tatem, causes the wicked to err. They repeatedly think that their path has succeeded, until it explodes in their face and then it's too late. So Shlomo is telling us, you look at the tzaddik and you feel like he's less than everyone else. Tells us Shlomo, yater mereu tzaddik, really he's more. The derech resha'im, the path of the wicked, tatem, causes them to err because it gives them the feeling all along like they're one up on everyone. Look, they're able to deceive everyone. They're getting away with it. No, ultimately that's their downfall, that the path can be misleading. It's interesting the stress of the derech. You'll notice this again and again in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech repeatedly speaks about the path we choose to go on. It's not only about the individual action. It's about the general path. The individual actions usually are a part of the path. So sometimes we have our ups and sometimes we have our downs. But the question is, what path are we on? There are habits that we form, societies that we join. What minyan do we dominate? What community do we live in? These are all a part of our path. What shir do we regularly attend? What chavrusas do we set up? So Shlomo HaMelech is talking about the paths we set up in life, the habits we form. One of the keys to success is to get on a path that's successful. not the path to success, but rather the path of success. And again, the keys are in having the right chavrusa, having the right community, having the right shul. Pasuk chavzayin, lo yachroch remiyat zeidoho, lo yachroch remiyat zeidoho. When they would hunt, so then the custom was that they would scorch the tips of the wings of the birds they would catch. They would dip their wings, the edges of the wings, in fire, and then the bird couldn't fly away. So they weren't ready to slaughter the birds right away. They caught a bunch of birds. How do you keep them from flying away? So you could have nets all around and throw them into this big net. What they did was they would scorch the ends of their wings. I don't know if this was painful for the birds or not. I don't know. It is? It is not. Okay.
Like, you can trim, you can cut the ends of the wings to...
There's no nerves on there?
Yeah, I think I also understood. It's like the nail.
If you cut too much, yes. But the nerve of the feather goes...
I was looking for you. No, thank you. Make yourself knock the door. Ah, thank you.
Might be better than cutting you, because cutting sometimes gets bleeding, even though it's not painful. The bird can bleed because there are blood vessels, like in the thing. But by scorching it, you won't bleed your quarter or something.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. That's what I read, yeah.
Yeah.
So Shlomo is giving an allegory here. He's saying when a remiya, when someone who is deceitful, he has a tzayid, he's hunted a bird, lo yachroch, he doesn't scorch the feathers. Because without scorching the feathers, the bird is more beautiful, he can make more money on it. Even though it's the same bird as the next guy who scorched the feathers. But the one who is focused on deceiving others is very focused on the outside appearance. The external appearance is super important to him. So lo yachroch, he doesn't scorch the edges of the wings, remiya, when a person is deceitful, tzedo, that which he has hunted. And what happens? Ultimately, the bird flies away. And this is an allegory for a person who says, I won't give any charity. So Shlomo HaMelech says, right, don't scorch the feathers of the bird, and you'll see how the whole bird flies away. Don't give any charity from your money, you'll see how it all flies away. So it's an allegory. That's Mishlei. The whole book is allegories. V'hon adam yakar charutz. The wealth of a person, hon adam yakar, the wealth of an important person, an honorable person, when a person takes from his poor, from his wealth, and gives to the poor, so then hon adam yakar, the wealth of an important person, a person who has given charity, is charutz. Charutz is chosen gold, it is the prime gold, and that's something which lasts a long time. So you have one guy who's trying to deceive others, so then his wealth is going to fly away, he's going to lose it all. And then you have one guy who says, let me help others with my wealth, so that wealth will last like fine gold. The truth is that this can also be understood on a different level. When a person is focused on externals, very often they miss the point. Very often a person has other goals, the external goals, which are so much more important to them. And then they really lose out on what's going on inside, on the main point. Let's take an example. A person will sometimes be super concerned that it looks like he's davening with kavanah. Where's his real kavanah going to go? So there are many examples to this idea. Very often, especially in religion, there's room to be focused on the externals and to miss the point. Very often. Pasuk Chavchet. Be'orach tzedakah chayim. He who goes on the path of righteousness will find life. V'derech netivah al mavet. And when a person goes on that path of righteousness, of charity, al mavet, he is above death, so to speak. That's a path that just goes over the death. There's an element where the kindness that a person does comes back to repay them and protects a person as he goes through his path in life. And here, I want to share a story with you. Two powerful stories. Take them for whatever they're worth. A few years ago, I had the good fortune of interviewing different people who had gone through the Holocaust. And in the interviews, there were certain questions I asked all of them, and I got to hear the following two stories. Story number one was a story of a young girl whose father in Poland in the year Sosnowitz was one of the wealthy, probably the most wealthy Jew in Sosnowitz. And he would personally send baskets of food to different families every Friday or every Thursday so that they would have food to eat. Now, sometimes he would take his daughter with him, his little girl with him, because sometimes they were widows and he didn't want to be alone in the house with them, so he would take his small daughter with him. And as the girl grew up, he started sending her alone. Now, it meant going to the other side of town where sometimes you were going into the slums, and his girls were pretty scared going, and they'd say, "Abba, we don't want to go." And he'd say, "No, no, no. That's your mitzvah. If you go, they'll be more comfortable getting the baskets from you." And in fact, they were. It was nice getting a small girl come to visit in the slums, and the girl would come filled with life, and they would always bless her. And one time, she was standing there by her father, and she said, "You know, it's really scary going into those neighborhoods and bringing a basket of food and or an envelope with money." So he said to her, "I am telling you that this mitzvah will stand by you in your life. And whenever you will have a time of need, you will be able to turn to heaven and say, 'I went, even though it was hard for me. And Ribbono Shel'olam, help me. Don't leave me now.' You will do what's hard for you, and when necessary, you will turn to heaven, and you'll see that your prayers will be answered." And this is what the father said to the girl. Now, this is a girl who today, this is a woman, I mean, she's, a great-grandmother already. I don't know if she keeps Shabbos. I don't know what mitzvot she keeps today. But she told me, when I interviewed her, she said to me, "You should know, in the Holocaust, there were times where I thought it was over. And at those times, I lifted my eyes to heaven and I said, 'God, I did mine. And now I want you to do yours. I did it even though it was tough for me.'" And she said, "I always felt like that at those moments. I suddenly had special assistance from above, special strength, special siyata dishmaya, and I made it out." So that was one story. Again, to me, it was more potent because it came from someone who themselves was not so observant. Is not so observant. The second story was a story she told me about her mother. She said that her mother, in one of the camps, her mother was in charge of the soup kitchen. And being that she was such a top cook, so they placed her in charge, and she had access to food. She was in charge of the food. So she heard that the next town over, an old rabbi had come. And she knew that at his frail age, he needed better food, and there was no way he would get it. So she figured out a way to smuggle out food on a steady basis to bring that rabbi. As one of those who was in charge of the kitchen, she was given special treatment, and she figured out a way to smuggle out the food. One day, she gets a note. She never would visit the rabbi directly. She would always leave the food by the door. They had a whole system for smuggling it. And one day there's a note waiting there for her. And on the note, the rabbi wrote her, "I have no way of thanking you. You're saving my life on a daily basis. And the only thing I can tell you is that I've prepared for you this bracelet and wear it. And with this bracelet comes my blessing. You will see that you will have divine intervention and you will be protected as you continue through this horrible war." The bracelet was made of a thin thread. That was the only thing he had. And twigs, meaning there was nothing on the bracelet. But he had taken twigs and tied them together to form a bracelet with between the thread and the twigs. And throughout most of the Holocaust, she kept wearing that bracelet made of twigs and thread, and she always attributed it to that. She always said, that blessing is what helped me through. And that woman made it through the Holocaust with four of her children and her husband, something which is pretty rare. I'm saying most families didn't make it at all. And here they made it out as a family in far out parts of the Holocaust. So those were two stories. Shlomo HaMelech says, Be'orach tzedakah chayim. The path of charity is a path that brings life to he who gives charity. V'derech netiva, and the way that path runs is al mavet, above death. And this is a recurring theme in Mishlei, where Shlomo keeps telling us, you should know, tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Charity is something that will save a person from death, from an untimely death. Obviously, everyone dies at some point, but it saves a person in times of danger. And that brings us to the conclusion of this section, and the next section, which is where they also start a new chapter, is a new series. Bein Chachami starts a new speech to his son.